We will turn back to the portion we read there of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we may read again at verse 17. Speaking of the reaction of the shepherds to the message of the angels, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Over these past weeks and into these few remaining days leading up to Christmas, the pace of life and living inevitably and every year increases. We get an increased mailing, we get increased marketing pressures. The pressure comes, the pace increases from so many different directions. The young ones have their own activities in school and such like. There's the outings and the functions which other organisations might organise, which might involve ourselves. There's the extra shopping, there's the different gifts, and so the list goes on. There is so much that people think needs to be done. There is simply so much that people think they must achieve and accomplish and pack into their lives. And therefore, days are simply swallowed up by a whole lot of activity. But we've got to ask ourselves the question, what is all that activity achieving? Where is it getting us? There's a hype, there's a build-up, there's an expectancy that is developing and growing in our society inevitably at this time of year. We all feel it. You've got to be a hermit, totally divorced from society, not to feel it. But we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves several simple questions. Is there anything good? And is there anything permanently good from all of the activity that we see round about us and that might from time to time break into our own lives? Is there anything good and of lasting value from all of that activity at this time of year? The message, the very essence of the message, the Christmas message given by these angels, is of peace and of joy. That is what so many are looking for. But so few possess it and experience it. And the days are going to pass and the week is going to go, and there's going to be no lasting change. The routine of life will again be restored, and we'll be back to the way we've always done things. And the things of these next few days will be consigned to history. So busy, but for nothing. So much activity, and of so much of it, we draw the conclusion it's a vanity. But there is some activity that is good, is profitable, and will last. There are some things that we can do that do have a lasting effect. And they're given to us in these few verses that we've read from Luke chapter 2. And the very first one is given to us, and there are several references to this activity in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And I want to highlight that continuing theme in these verses of telling the good news. That's the first activity that is good and lasting for ourselves. Following the example of the shepherds and of the angels in telling this gospel. The festive season develops a life all of its own. A life that has no roots whatsoever in our Bible. There is in our society today increasingly a celebration of a festival that excludes any Christian emphasis. Just as we read there in verse 7 of being no room in the inn, so also in the activities of much of what's going on, at least in our society today, there is no room for Jesus Christ. We are living in a society where there is a growing ignorance of the most basic of Christian teaching and of truth. And so here, therefore, we have these shepherds telling what they had been told themselves by these angels. And we've already seen over these past few weeks the different spirituality and emphasis in some that were living in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. There wasn't all of them like that. We've already read and looked at Simeon and Anna and the way in which they were constantly waiting for the coming of the Lord's Messiah. They had this expectancy upon them, but they were so different from others that were round about them. There was this tremendous story that the angels brought, this tremendous breaking into the life of our society, our world, breaking into the life of two women first of all, breaking into the history of the Jewish nation also, but breaking into the whole history of our world with a tremendous message of what God has done to address the biggest problem that we've got. God has broken in, and he has broken in with good news that's important for every one of us. And these angels told the shepherds, and the shepherds had this great story, and it's all the more precious a story and an event because it was waited for so long, silence for 300-400 years, and now at last God has spoken, but not just spoken, but God has acted. The good news is now beginning to unfold, is now beginning to happen and be realized in the coming of a Savior, Christ the Lord. So they were telling the good news. They had heard a great message. The angel's song of peace they had heard. They heard it with the joy of their intimation. They had listened to the music of heaven accompanying that message given to them. The shepherds, yes, to begin with, they were afraid. Just the same way as every one of us is also afraid at the very thought of close dealings with God. When we are alone with God, we are always afraid because we're not ready for him. We're not prepared for him. And he knows all there is to know about us. Yes, they were afraid, and so are we when God breaks into our life and our thinking. We sometimes try to cover it up. We try to smother the warning bells. We try to put a blanket over the red light. We try anything and everything to prevent that from arising, or when it does, to smother it in any way possible. But that's God warning us that we're not ready for Him. And we've got to pay heed to it so that we can put things right. And the way to put things right is by this message, this great message that the angels came to intimate. And the way they do it is this simple word that we've mentioned time and again: behold. The mind of these shepherds would be on so many different aspects, ranging over so many different things. The minds of people today are ranging over the shopping that was never done yesterday, and the snow that's on the road, and the way they've got to go and visit this one and that one, and so it goes on. Our minds can be scattered into the four corners of the world. And here is the message of the scripture, drawing us all together, focusing upon the one thing. That's what this word behold means. Look at it. These angels have something important to say, something worth noting, something worth telling. These angels are speaking of God's gracious intention from all eternity. Promises that were made so long ago are now going to be fulfilled. A Savior is coming. And the very name that is given to Him tells us of the purpose of His life. When we look at the life of Jesus, there are so many aspects of that life that other people can focus on and people can look at, and they say, well, this is the lesson that Jesus is telling us. This is the thing that's important out of His life. But the way the Bible focuses on what Jesus has done, the message that He speaks, the sermons that He gives, every aspect of His life, time and time again, there is this one simple small word comes to the surface that He's come to deal with. He has come, His name says, He has come to pardon and to deal with the sins of His people. He is the Savior of His own. And that, of course, was realized as He went to the cross, bleeding, suffering, and dying there, so that His people, those who believe in Him, may not bleed, may not die, may not suffer. This great message, not created by man, this is the perfection of God's wisdom, promising the Savior, purpose of His life, the achievement and accomplishment in His death, addressing sin as we know it in our lives. We can behave like Adam. We can behave like these shepherds. The wrong that we've done makes us afraid, makes us run and try to hide in the bushes, anything trying to get away from God. It doesn't work. We can run, but we cannot hide. We can live in the darkness and we can hide in the bushes, but now there is light come. Now there is this revelation given of God's wisdom, of God's grace, of God's purpose to deal with this problem in a way that we could never, ever have done ourselves. It starts, this great message, at His birth. But it is only realized at the cross of Calvary. There is no greater joy. There is no greater joy that anyone can experience. That's what this passage and the intimation of these angels bring. No greater joy than that which is felt from a peaceful conscience. When we know that all of our sin and all of our faults and all of our failings have been dealt with fully and dealt with finally, so that there is no fear whatsoever in that meeting which inevitably will come to every one of us. No fear in meeting God. This great message, sin being addressed, identified and dealt with by the suffering of this Saviour upon the cross. We need to tell people about this great message today, told by the angels to the shepherds. And these shepherds themselves, notice what it says about them. They went abroad making known the saying which was told them concerning this child. As many as they met, they spoke and they shared it. As many as they met, they told them what the Lord was now going to do. Telling a good news. They've heard a great message. We've got this great message ourselves. And we have this responsibility in our society and in our day, where so much distortion, so much ignorance, so much neglect is evident, to do the same as these shepherds were doing. But there's something else that we need to put in about telling this good news. Not only did they hear the great message, we've all heard it ourselves, but there's something that they had and that we must have also. They've seen a great sight. That's important in telling this good news. The angels told them some things and they went to have it confirmed. They saw the one that was promised. They saw the one babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. They had that experience themselves. They knew it themselves. And so therefore, not only do we need to hear this message, we need to see the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves, so that we speak with a conviction, so that we speak and testify and witness with this inner conviction. Yes, we're telling you this, but yes, I know it. I know it because I've seen the Lord myself. I know the change that he brings. I know what he can do for the life of a sinner. From my heart, from the heart of every one of the Lord's people, we can speak simply and clearly, but wrap it up with all of the warmth of a human testimony and words. The Lord has done this for me, and he can do it for you. Remember, these were shepherds. There was no great polish about the way they spoke. There was no great putting together of detailed arguments or complicated sentences or anything like that in elocution or eloquence. It just simply bubbled out from them what God had done and what they had seen for themselves. A living example of the message they were sharing. This is what God has done in Jesus Christ the Saviour. So must be the living reality with ourselves. Not only hearing a good message, but seeing the sight for ourselves, experiencing the saving grace of the Lord, and sharing it with others with whom we speak. So yes, the first thing, telling the good news. But then the second thing I want us to think of for work and activity that's profitable and beneficial, good for us to follow, not only telling, but also in verse 19 we have, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Not only do we have telling, but now we have Mary thinking. Telling, thinking. She laid hold of all this that was told her, and she remembered it. She kept it in her heart. She went over it and over it and over it. Remember when the message was given about the birth of Jesus to Mary. Here Simeon says to her some of the things that are going to happen to her. A sword shall pierce through your own soul also. Things were said and given to Mary that strange events, strange experiences to come. And she held on to them. She kept them and she thought over them. She recalled. She didn't let them slip. What impressions have we had? I mean, spiritual impressions. Have we had over this past year that is now coming to a close? What word has the Lord spoken to us? Do we still remember it? It still challenges us. It still speaks to us. Even now, perhaps, the power of it breaks through into your thinking and you're confronted again with something that God has said in the past to you. What about the gentleness of the Lord in dealing with you and speaking with you and meeting you? What about the goodness and the riches of his hands filled with blessings? What about the mercies of the Lord and the way in which he has dealt so graciously with you? These are the kind of things that we can think over. Just the same way as Mary thought over the things she heard and saw. Holding on to them. Maybe not understanding all of them for Mary, for ourselves. But holding on to them as precious. As we've said, there is a busyness round about us just now. And that busyness can invade and infect us. So much that needs to be done. So much that needs to be attended to. And life can swamp us. And all of these little things, or big things, they can be like the cuckoo. There's something in the nest that's got to be thrown out. And the cuckoo pushes out the eggs of all the other eggs of the bird. That's the same with the activities that we've got before us in these days. We can be so dominated, captivated by them, that the one thing that's important, we lose grasp of and we lose hold of. And we've got to take the example of Mary to think over all that the Lord has given to us and done for us. Hold on to what we've got. Turn it over. Not just simply the words, but the personal involvement, the meaning. What is it that God is saying to me through this passage that you can now remember? It needs time, it needs space, it needs discipline to think it over just like this. It needs, we've said it, we've used it before, take a time out in life. Just simply put the brakes on to all our activity to think of what God is saying to us. Store up every little crumb of truth. Lay hold of every impression that the Lord has given you. Remember the experiences of his goodness and of his grace. When you go on, just to verse 51 in this very chapter, You see again what Mary did. It wasn't one off thing she did there in remembering and pondering the things that were told her by the shepherds. Notice else, in something else in verse 51, and he went down with them, that is Jesus went down with them to Nazareth, was subject to them. And then listen about Mary. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Again, she kept them. She thought about them. She went over them. She replayed them. She revisited them. She tried to understand them and to fit them in to her life. Especially those things that are not fully understood by her or by us. We should ask for God's light. We should ask for understanding from God. We should weigh up what he's given us. Where does it lead us? Don't be distracted. Think things over. Spiritual lessons, spiritual truths that God has given us in his grace met with us. Things that are now raised up out of your memory. What has been the effect of these things upon you? We're all exposed, as we've said, to the pressures of society round about us. Pressures on our thinking, pressures on our living. And so often that pressure has no Christian sympathy whatsoever with it. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Don't conform to that shape, pressure and mold of society today. And how are we going to resist it? You can immediately ask. How are we going to resist that pressure of these next days, of this week, of this season? How are we going to resist the pressure? Paul tells us there in Romans 12, he says, by the renewing of your minds. Thinking it through. Focus again is on the mind. Think it through, the renewing of your mind. And what is it that you're going to take up and renew and think of again? The mercies of God. Deliberately think through. Deliberately think often of what God's goodness and mercy and grace has been to us in these past days. In the busyness of life, we need to focus on a biblical foundation. We need to focus upon Jesus Christ, who has come. And he has come to deal with our sin and the guilt over all the wrong things that are in his people's lives. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Yes, activity that is good, tell. Activity that is good, think. Think over the things that God has told us. Renew your mind. Switch on the rewind button. Go back to the mercies of God to you. Tell him. Thinking. What's the third activity that we've got here? Verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Telling, thinking. The third thing, travelling. They travelled back home. They went back to their sheep. They went back to their place of work and calling. But they were never the same again. The impression of that night, and the impression of that message, and the impression of all that they had remained with them forever. They went back to work. They travelled home. But they went home praising their God. Now we've got to ask the question immediately, for how many will that be true? After all the services of these next days, after all of the activity of these days. It is only as we know him and meet him for ourselves. It is only as we, like these shepherds, seen the great sight, as they see the one who was promised, as we see his beauty and know his attraction and application to our souls, it is only as we see him in that same way that we can go home praising our God. We need the teaching of God's Holy Spirit in the school of love and of mercy, sitting at the feet of the one who is full of grace and truth, reading our own life, our own book, our own activities. And we need to constantly look again at that old rugged cross. The need today is not for something new. The need today is for what these disciples were doing. They were telling the story of what the angels had given them, and they kept on focusing on it and telling it to those and all who would listen. Some people today think that we need new things constantly to be changing, to be incorporating, to be developing. We need to be inventive in the way in which we're confronting our society today. Add this, do that, go there. And we'll eventually get people in. But what do we see these shepherds doing? These shepherds are stimulated in their worship and their praise. They are stimulated by going over what they've been told already, what they've been told recently. They told what they had heard, what they had seen. They repeated it to others. So it is with ourselves. We focus on the familiar. We focus on the vital. We focus on this gospel and pray that the Holy Spirit would apply it to those who hear it. The old, old story, retold and shared in these days. That's our busyness and work also. To say and to share and to speak what the Lord has done for us. The promise of peace, of pardon and of rest. The promise of forgiveness and acceptance. That's what thrilled them and stimulated them in their praise. Traveling home, but all of them different, never the same again. Because they had met with Jesus. There is today, as we say, a growing ignorance of the meaning and the significance and the fulfillment of the Christmas message. We've got to tell people, therefore, and share with people who are ignorant today, and to do so not just simply as sharing facts and speaking of and telling words, but we've got to back it up from ourselves that we know what we're speaking of. We know this Savior. We know this Christ who is at the center of our lives and our message and our words. And this Christ who is at the center of this invitation that others would join with us. We read here of verse 18, "On all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The shepherds went telling, speaking, sharing. And there was that sense of wonder upon those who heard their message. That at least must be what we look for as well. People should not be able to walk away indifferently. People should not be allowed to walk away from what we've got to say with a shrug of their shoulders. But we should at least seek to create this impression with them. A sense of wonder. A sense of awe. That God the Lord has done amazing things for His people today. He has broken in. He has addressed the problem. And He has done it in this amazing way of His love. By sending His Son. You shall call His name Jesus. Why? Because He shall save His people from their sins. A whole lot of work going on, but a lot of it to no point, to no purpose. But there is this work of telling, this work of thinking, this work of going home, praising the Lord for what He's done for us. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless Thy name for Thy grace towards this world in sending Jesus Christ, Thy Son, into it to be the Saviour of as many as trust in Him. And we ask, Lord, that there would be with us in these days a grasping and an holding on and an understanding of the significance of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for light in our darkness. We pray for life in our soul. We pray for faith to commit our lives to Him. Come with us, O Lord, and work with each one of us, and may we speak out to others of what Thou hast done in Thy Son and in our soul. Hear us and bless us and forgive us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We return back to that psalm we started with, Psalm 145. We sang there at verse 4, the second version we're at, Psalm 145 at verse 4. Race shall thy works praise unto race. The mighty acts show done by thee. I will speak of thy glorious grace and honour of thy majesty. The theme we've been thinking about with the shepherds telling this good news. Let's move down to verse 9 then for our closing psalm of praise. Good unto all men is the Lord. O'er all His works His mercy is. Thy works all praise to Thee afford. Thy saints, O Lord, Thy name shall bless. The glory of Thy kingdom show, shall they and of Thy power tell. That so men's sons His deeds may know, His kingdom's grace that doth excel. Thy kingdom hath none end at all. It doth through ages all remain. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. The cast down raiseth up again. The eyes of all things, Lord, attend, and on Thee wait that here to live. And Thou in season due dost send sufficient food them to relieve. Psalm 145, second version, verses 9 through 15, four stanzas. Good unto all men is the Lord. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.